everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. Good morning. It's June 29th, 2020, on a happily rainy day here in the great state of Maine. We haven't had rain in about 3 or 4 weeks, and it was starting to look like the Gobi Desert out there. So I'm happy to say that maybe our lawns will green up again, and the gardens will grow and all that sort of thing. It's nice to have I love a rainy night. That's all. It's just great. It's been raining since yesterday. So good stuff. I'm going to brighten your day even further. We got a show with today with Amy Leesk, who's the educator and founder and author of Red Tea. That's R-E-D and then the letter T. Red Tea Media. She's up near Toronto. And we're going to talk about bringing philosophy education and using philosophy as a wonderful tool to teach, okay, and to learn for kids to learn about philosophy. It's really great stuff, and what you're going to find out during this next half hour will just literally blow your sock, not literally, figuratively, it'll blow your socks off. She has brought with her Jen Apgar, who is the 21st century, I love that title, 21st century technology coach at the Upper Grand School Board in Ontario. And she's also the vice president of the Educational Computing Organizations of Ontario. So it's going to be a nice show about high tech and philosophy and all that sort of stuff. If only Aristotle had a computer, how the world might have been even better. Okay, we'll bring them all both on in just a second. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We put a new schedule up on that website every Saturday, maybe even sometimes Friday afternoon. Okay, and if you go to past shows on that icon, you'll see every show we've ever done since 2011, and amazingly, people still listen to very old shows, which always surprises me. As I like to say, if you're interested in equity and access for the kids, okay, pre-K 12, and I think everybody is these days in the pandemic times, please go over to our other website, which is all about equity and access, pre-K 12. That's ACE-ED.org, ACE-ED.org. That ACE-ED is an acronym for the American Consortium for Equity in Education. American Consortium for Equity in Education, ACE-ED.org. You'll see the brand new issue of our magazine, which is ACE, over there. Just click through and enjoy a wonderful, wonderful issue, okay, in these pandemic times. My partner in this, Maya Appleby, has put together a magnificent issue for you with great editorial, wonderful visuals, etc., and terrific advertisers. So check it all out. Please join our consortium. We want your voice heard. Everything is free for educators at ACE-ED.org. And on that note, let me move over and bring on our wonderful guests. Okay, we have Jen and Amy. I'll start with Amy. Welcome back, Amy.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today? How's it raining up there? It's raining here.
We're getting little bits and pieces of it, but it's pretty hot here and it's gorgeous. The trees are all popping. The grass is green. The flowers are out. We're starting to get some fresh fruit and veggies. So summer has arrived here in the Toronto area.
I was going to say, am I calling, are we talking to Toronto or Oz? It sounds perfect.
Yep. Very
right.
Good.
Thank you, Dorothy. No, I mean Amy. I'm only kidding. Okay, Amy Leesk, everybody. She's the educator and founder. She's an educator and founder and author at Red Tea Media. We'll talk about that. Jen, are you there?
I am.
Jen Apgar.
Thank you. Great to be here,
Larry. I have to tell you a funny story. Your last name, of course, is the same as the scale they give to newborn babies. You're familiar with that, right?
Yes, Dr. Virginia Apgar was my grandfather's cousin, so it's named. She invented the test, and then they, after the fact, gave the acronym to match her last name.
Well,
she's American as well. Yeah.
You just told me something. Just say that again. I want to hear that again. Go ahead.
Well, so what
something.
people don't realize is Dr. Virginia Apgar created the scale, but after she created the scale, they back-ended the each of the letters represents something, and
yeah,
they made that fit her last name. So it would be – but that happened after she created the scale. She didn't – it wasn't an ego trip by her, but it's a good way to remember it, and they did that to honor her as the innovator that did that.
Wow, how cool. Congratulations to your – was it your grandmom or your great-aunt? Or who
my grandfather's cousin.
That's close enough as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you a funny story. I thought it was named after a person, but when I looked it up today, all they had was the acronym. And I thought, oh, my mistake. It's always been an acronym. But I'm so glad it's named after a NASCAR, an actual human, Dr. Virginia.
Yeah.
And a female, and a female doctor. That's great. Okay. Really. So what year did she do this? Do you know?
I think her mid-60s. If you Google her, Dr. Virginia Apgar, she was a pretty good pioneer for women.
Wow.
At that time. And I remember my grandfather, when the Elvis Presley stamp came out in the U.S., he was upset because her stamp was supposed to come out and she got bumped by Elvis. But she does have for stamp collectors in the U.S. too. She does have a commemorative stamp, postal stamp.
I am learning. This
well.
Is. We were going to talk philosophy, but this is fantastic. Thank you, Jen. Right? This is really
no
great
problem.
Stuff. So if you're having a newborn, the Apgar test, everybody, here's an actual Apgar on the show. And before I get into Red Tea, tell me where Upper Grand School Board is. That's where you work, Upper Grand School District or whatever, up in Ontario.
Yeah.
Where is that, Jeff?
Yeah, we're about 45 minutes west and a little north of Toronto. So
okay.
Guelph and Orangeville, Caledon, probably places people in Maine haven't heard of, but that's where...
Yeah, I know those places.
Yeah,
okay, that's good.
Okay.
I do. I probably haven't been there, but I've been up to Toronto enough times back in the day when I would drive around and I'd see all that stuff. So, yes, I know those places. Okay, and Amy, tell us about Red Tea Media.
We produce philosophy for children material, and we produce it in just about every media that's out there. We've done books, of course, as well as interactive ebooks. We've done video series. We've done animated stuff. Video games, that sort of thing, teacher materials, and we're kind of on a mission to encourage critical thinking in children sort of ages 5 to 12.
Yeah, and that is fabulous, and it's Red Tea. That's the letter T, redteakids.com, redteakids.com, everybody. But this style, I'm telling you, adults can use this too, believe me. Not enough of us know enough about philosophy and the logic that it brings. And I got to tell you, and I was thinking about this show. I did a show with Amy about a month ago, and I just loved the show so much I asked her back. So I wanted to make sure we got a little deeper into it, but teaching philosophy and critical thinking and logic, if I may. She's got wonderful tools to do that. It's not like you're going to have to memorize Plato's The Republic or anything like that, okay? But it's really just fabulous stuff about critical thinking. And with all the things that are going on in the world today, okay, we need to stop, take a breath, and critically think about things and how we're going to approach them. Kids especially, and too many adults these days, see something shallow and react emotionally, and that's not the way to do it, okay? You have to critically think about things, and that's why philosophy is so important. I'm so glad we are back here, okay? And how did you guys link up? How did you find out about Red Tea, Jen?
Amy and I went to the same high school together back in the day. So we were sort of...
Well, that was, what, that was 10 years ago, right? That was 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not quite 10, maybe a bit more.
Yeah, I was
like going to
say, your reunion is coming up soon, so I'm glad you guys got together. That's great.
When her first series of books came out, the Sophia the Wise and the Think About It books, my mom actually bought them for me from a bookstore in our small town where we grew up, and to give to share with my daughter. So I had them in my classroom, and then when I moved into a consultant role, Amy and I stayed connected over time. And I really, again, like you said, believe in her work that she's doing and how that connects to the world we're in now. Yep.
Actually, take that a little further, since you're working with it. And when you say it connects to the world today, just carry that thought out a little more, if you don't mind, Jen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think sometimes when people think philosophy, they think Plato and sort of academics from the eras bygone. But I really like how you're making the connection to critical thinking. And I would say the human element of that is even more relevant right now. Like thinking... Sometimes when we think about critical thinking, we think sort of in a computational way or a science way. Is that, well, we need to critically think, will this chemical, work with this chemical. And what I like about philosophy, and especially Amy's work and connecting it for young people, is it's more big why questions. It's being curious, mm-hmm. but also not a right or wrong. And there was a great social media post Amy had the other day about how philosophers like think they know something, and then it's like sort of an arrow moving to the right saying, and then they learn that that's not true, and then they think about something again, and it sort of goes on forever. And I think that level of sort of intellectual humility of thinking that there are new things to learn are really important right now, as we're in a pandemic and with things going on across the world regarding Black Lives Matter and racial inequities and anti-oppression.
Right, and of course, and kids of all colors, okay, have their thoughts about what's going on social justice-wise right now, okay? They're trapped in a pandemic, so they don't have their friends around as much as they should, or even adults around as much as they should. So they're not getting a lot of stuff put in there. That's why they have to learn to critically think, and that's why understanding philosophy, and I mean this really and truly, is so darn important these days. And I just want to ask, actually, I'll ask Amy. Amy, Jen is a 21st century technology coach, okay? And can you put what you do at Red Tea into maybe, and I think you can, into a technological point of view, how technology may play a role in that?
Yeah, absolutely. The printed book, I'm still a believer in the printed book. I think they're wonderful. They're, you know, and there's still a demand for that. I think there will be for quite some time. But I think in 21st century learning, one thing that's sort of come to the forefront is there is no such thing as one type of learner. And if you want to reach as many learners as you possibly can, you've got to play with different media. You have to incorporate, you know, when I was younger, we would say, you know, well, technology's coming, you know, and someday we're all going to be dependent on it. It's not even a thought for most 21st century kids. It's just part of the landscape.
That's right.
So to say that we need to prepare them for this, they're already there. So we've never really put out anything just in book form. It's always been in digital media or in the form of an app or, you know, in gaming or that sort of thing. So we've always brought in a technological element to pretty much everything we've done, because we really want there to be a doorway into philosophy for pretty much any kid. I don't think there are children who don't do philosophy, and I want to meet them where they live. I want to engage them, you know, where they are, and with materials and media that sort of suit their learning style. So that's been the motivation behind us going technological.
I think it's great.
Our company has always had these really great programmers on staff. So it's been a wonderful learning experience for them as well to not just think about, okay, well, I'm going to program this big system, but no, I'm going to program an interactive ebook for children as well. And so it's been kind of a group effort, and, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to make children's materials, too. And I'm delighted to keep experimenting with new media and new technological approaches to this.
That is really cool. And by the way, I just noticed, this is funny, your company is Red Tea Media. There's a video of you, Amy, on the website, which is redteakids.com. And I just realized you're wearing a red T-shirt. I just realized
I have a bunch of them now.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do, but being a man, I just noticed this, okay? So I just wanted to make a point of that, all right? Because men don't notice things, but I did actually notice that, okay? You bring up an interesting point, and let me, Jen, have you taught this or worked with teachers who are using Red Tea?
I've shared some resources with people. As I said to Amy, with the pandemic this year, and we were not concretely yet, but we've had opportunities to connect. There's definitely there's going to be a good place for it moving forward. And one of the great things about Amy's work being accessible digitally is that in a distance learning environment, you can get it. Whereas if you can't physically get a book to a kid, they could check out the app, right? So it's definitely something that fits well with what we're doing and where we're going right now and in the future.
It really does. And the reason I asked that question, okay, is because I bounced off of what Amy said. We want to really get philosophy, into the minds of kids, but we have to get it into the minds of teachers too. Okay, that's where I was going with that. Okay, because most people, like yours truly, did not take a philosophy. I never took a philosophy course. Okay, and never had one. And too many people do because it scares people. People think you have to be this incredibly deep thinker, okay, to even get anywhere with it. And people tend to avoid it, which is ridiculous. Okay, I'm generalizing here, of course. All right, and I'm curious, Amy, you can talk to this, and Jen, you can too, because you're familiar with this, because you're a technology coach, so you coach teachers. Okay, but I'll ask Amy first. Amy, what's the reaction usually from teachers when you tell them, oh, here's a great idea, philosophy? Okay, what do they say?
Amy. Generally speaking, it's once you sort of explain that it's not just philosophy, that it isn't Plato and it isn't, you know, super academic, and there is a way in that is very accessible to kids. It's really positive. I don't think you're going to meet a teacher who's against the idea of teaching critical thinking. It's on everybody's list. You know, when you have all these check marks, I have to, by the end of the year, I have to get through this, and this. It's there for everyone. The concern a lot of the time is, how do I work this into the regular curriculum? Because it's not, not very many places in North America is it taught as a subject unto itself.
That is correct.
So it's sometimes a bit of a hard sell to administration, to school boards, you know, can we work this in there? And the really good news is, philosophy fits anywhere. You don't even have to call
Thank
it
you.
Philosophy.
You can just
pull these really rich questions out of any subject area. And it can, you know, you can still build really great learning experiences around it. You can still do assessment and evaluation around it. So that's really where it fits into the teaching aspect, is just showing teachers, you know, with a little bit of, you know, a little bit of playing with this and, you know, working this around, you can put it in there and nobody will even know what it is. They'll just be, you know, entranced by it and challenged by it. And it's empowering.
It absolutely is empowering. I couldn't agree with you more. And your point, and we're calling it philosophy for the sake of this show, okay? But we're really talking about critical thinking, and that fits in everywhere. And it fits in, and this is key again. Amy, talk about the grade levels we're talking about here.
We produce materials for children, you know, as young as kindergarten, but we go all the way up to about sort of grade 6 to 8 as well. I've actually had adult education teachers come back, especially those who are teaching English as a second language, and you know,
who
said, you know, it's kind of cartoony, but you know what? I put it in there anyway, and people got a kick out of it. I really like the idea that a parent will pick it up with their child too and read it to their child, you know, even if it's just a page or two a night, and then they'll go away. You know, they'll tuck their child into bed and they'll go and do the dishes or get ready for work the next morning, and they'll be thinking about it as well. So it fits in all over the place.
Yeah, and then I liked your phrase, they'll be thinking about it. That's what we're talking about here, thinking. You used a phrase, I just wanted to go into that because we're doing this without visuals, cartooning. Why did you say it's cartoony?
Our books are heavily graphic. And that was, you know, we've got the main character is Sophia the Wise for the Think About It series anyway, for ages 8 to 12. When I originally wrote the manuscript, you know, a bunch of people that I had read it for me, editors said, you can't just sort of bring up these big ideas and famous thinkers. You need a child to walk, you know, a reader through it.
So our
name Red Tea Media actually comes from, Sophia the Wise sports this really great red t-shirt, with a light bulb on it. And we took the company name because we produced those books before we were called Red Tea Media. I pulled that from her T-shirt.
Oh.
Because she sort of stands for, she's kind of an every child. You know, she's curious, she's precocious, she's not afraid to ask questions. So we put her in as a narrator to make it even more accessible. And, you know, this is a little girl who's about 10 years old, who is curious about everything, and you know, has the same concerns about, you know, cleaning her room and, you know, going to school and that sort of thing, but who also interviews Plato and Aristotle and Hannah Arendt and, you know, Jean-Paul Sartre. And
Yeah, it's pretty cool, I got to tell you. And the reason I asked that question again, because people can't see it, but my wife taught ESL for a long time, okay? And one of the things that she always used, and this is why I wanted to bring it up, is visuals, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's very important to get that point because they are universal. They're universal language, okay? And the fact that it's cartoony makes it so much easier to understand, et cetera. So I just wanted to follow up on that and make sure that you could understand it. Talk about how is it harder? Because you're used to having these things teach, and Jen, you can jump in here. Okay, it's always easier to teach when you've got kids in the classroom in front of you. Okay, everybody would agree with that, but now suddenly we do not have that, quote, luxury, unquote. Can you believe it? It's a luxury, all right? So now, okay, talk about using Red T's products, okay, your lessons, your curriculum, your books, et cetera, to teach online and work it in, okay, for other grades, okay, in the fall, specifically in the fall if the schools don't reopen. I don't know how they are going to. Okay, they're talking about it, but I just don't see it, okay? But maybe you guys do. Well, what do you think, Jen? Wait, let me ask Jen, do you think they're going to reopen?
I don't know. I mean, our model in our province, they're looking at three different models. Maybe
they all
are. The room. A hybrid piece. I don't know. And I guess, but I guess we got to be prepared for all contingencies. So thinking about, I did support distance learning, emergency distance learning in our board, which we had to put the pedal to the metal, particularly for K to four, because we've had some good blended learning and good digital learning in our district for sort of grade four and up. Not everybody bought in because it wasn't a have to for teachers, but students were ready and had access to devices. The K to three was differently tricky, and I think like this learning from when you start it from the beginning, if people aren't familiar with it, in some ways kindergarten students are receptive to big ideas like Sophia the Wise. They're curious. They want to know. I think if that's cultivated from a young age at home and at school, then that can continue. Sometimes it becomes about compliance and getting a good grade, and we sort of forget that. How do I just get me from A to B? Not why do they go to B, right? Like those sort of questioning pieces haven't always been there traditionally in school. When you take that to a blended environment or a fully online environment, what's great about the tools is that you've got some digital access to that. I mean, functionally, do they have the app? But I mean, even this type of learning, I think if teachers were to start off in an online environment in the fall, I think the first piece would be them making this part of their getting to know their students. And part of what they could do is model mm-hmm. their thoughts and answers to questions, because then they're also showing students that the teacher isn't the person that just tells you the right and wrong. I mean, we know developmentally sort of 0 to 8, some kids are pretty black and white in their thinking traditionally. So when an adult tells them this equals this, then if they trust and respect that adult, that sort of gets anchored. And so we want to help them feel safe and have that structure from their brain development, but we also want them to know that it's okay to ask questions. If something like, you know what I mean? Like, why does this person look like this? Why is that different? What does different mean? All of these sort of questions. So I think if a teacher models that, and again, if there can be some sort of synchronous or even a video, like Amy's great videos that she has on her site, here's an adult. Yeah. I feel like I know you, right? If I watch a video of you talking to someone else, even if it's not live. But if you're talking to the camera and saying, I like to think about things, right? And the way that the materials are very accessible and not patronizing to young students either. They're not like treating them like a baby. They're treating them like thinkers, but they're using language and ideas that they can understand. So it's accessible. So I think with that at the beginning, then you could you could drive a lot of learning through that, and then you could just plug it into your curriculum areas that you have to cover. That's going to be, I mean, not all teachers are ready to do that, particularly when they're also trying to figure out how to use technological tools, but it is a great start of the year getting to know you piece, because when students answer these big questions, you learn a lot, and that's sort of a diagnostic for you as a teacher of how can I support this learner, and what do I need to foster, and what do I need to interrupt to get them to their next stage.
It's so well said, by the way, I got to tell you, Jen. That was really, really good, and I appreciate that. Amy, I want to talk about this one, okay? And I want you to really make this clear. You wanted me to ask this. How can teachers get parents to support their efforts to bring philosophy into the classroom? And these days, Okay, that's a key question, because the parents are at home literally on figuratively on top of the kid. It's not like they're separate from the classroom. And you say, did you have any homework? What'd you do in school today? And the kid comes home and says, nothing. Okay, I didn't do anything. Give me something to eat. What's on TV? Okay, the parents actually are now with the kid when they are learning. Okay, and so things have changed, but we got to get the parents on board. How can teachers get the parents to support this? Your thoughts, Mademoiselle Liesk.
Well, we're in a, not a great situation with COVID-19 right now, but it is a unique opportunity.
You got to look at the opportunities here. I agree with that. You got to look at the opportunity. This is an opportunity now. We got to look at it like that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And parents, myself included, we've been pulled into our children's education. We are, there's the whole, it takes a village. It's never been more true. And a lot of parents are really intimidated, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
If you've never been trained as an educator, and then all of a sudden you're trying to do your work at home, and you've got kids around you, who need to be guided as well. I think philosophy is a really nice way into that as well, because you don't have to, it is good to have experience as a philosophical thinker, but you don't absolutely have to have it in order to do philosophy with your children.
Well, you're
going to
learn
if you're
it
worried
along
about,
with your kids. Yeah, by the way,
yeah,
everybody's
exactly.
going to learn it along with kids. Yeah, I think it's
exactly.
Cool.
Now, if you don't know how to do math, that's tricky to do math at home with your child in an emergency learning situation like this. If you don't remember your history lessons, that's tricky. There's all these things where parents are frantically trying to play catch up. You don't really have to do that with philosophy. As you said, you can start it together. You can learn together, and you can talk together. Parents need to know that this isn't just idle chit chat. It's helping their child develop these thinking skills, and it's building a bond of trust. If a child knows, as Jen talked about earlier, knowing that you can trust your teacher to take on these questions with you, there's a bond of trust to be built between parent and child as co-learners as well. If I can go to you and I can ask you, why are things this way and that way, and why is this fair and not fair, and not have you go, well, I don't want to talk about that. They're going to come to you with other questions as well, and you'll get through the math together because you've got this bond, and you'll get through the social science, and you'll get through the other stuff knowing that you are both open-minded and you're learning this together. So there's a real sort of infrastructure to be built at home. While we're waiting for schools to open up again, there's a really good opportunity to get parents on board in the learning process as well. And philosophy is something that every human does. So there's a nice doorway into that.
That's right. Give your thinking a structure. Okay. Is what we're talking about here.
Exactly.
And I'll say, you brought up math, and I've said this a million times on the show here. I was terrible at math. I was terrible. And I was taught wrong for the way I needed to be taught, because math is – because I went to a public school. They're not going to specialize for me. But math is logic, okay? Nobody ever approached it like a critical thinking thing, okay? They approach it like, here's what this is. Go figure it out for yourself. I don't even know how the hell they approached it, okay? But the point is, they never put it together in a logical format for me. Okay, which always reminds me of the old joke in the textbooks where they show you 1,000 numbers, then they have one sentence that is now clearly shown that X equals Y. Like I knew what the hell they were talking about. Okay, it's not clearly shown unless you logically move through the steps. Okay, and that's what logical thinking, critical thinking, i.e. philosophy. Okay, that's why it matters. Okay, and I'm very hot on this thing that you guys are trying to do there. Okay, it's just incredible. When do you think they're going to have some kind of decision in the Upper Grand, Jen?
Right now, if social media is to be trusted too, right now our government has said at a provincial level, come up with your three scenarios. Districts are working on those over the summer, and then they're going with what public health says closer to the date. So, I honestly, I worked through our March break, right, trying to support our distance learning. So I think it's hard to do because people are anxious. I'd say we just started summer here where we are. try and have some summertime. Like everybody, like even though we've sort of been home and it feels different, enjoy. Like you've got some rain there in Maine.
Exactly.
Like it sounds like
you
had
need
a drought.
You need a
yeah,
break.
Have a little break and don't gotta get too much into rage scrolling or whatever in social media. Is that there's only so much you can do to be prepared, and maybe being philosophical about it. The segue back is that okay? There will be a scenario, and we will get through.
You'll
and,
make it
and
work.
What,
we're
and,
teachers.
We'll make it work, right? And as nobody has wished for any of this upon the world, but there's some great shifts and pivots around more deep and critical thinking, as happens in all disasters that involve humans. And so how are we going to come out on the other side? And I think being able to think deeply and humanize people through philosophy will get us through. And will be forever changed in a positive way. I like to hope so, because you know that which does not kill us makes us stronger as a planet, and maybe this is a wake up call we needed, right? I mean, that's a philosophical question, and we could, again, that's the other great part too. It's not about debating a right or a wrong. It's seeing from a perspective of how can and trying to be, you know, hope. I love my Shawshank Redemption quote. fear can hold you prisoner, but hope can set you free. Right? So I'm leaning into the hope.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jen Apgar will be running for Premier of Ontario. Okay.
Yay!
Then you should be. Yeah, I know you have one vote. If I could vote up there, but I know Amy's going to vote for it. And
yeah.
One of the things, just before we leave, I mentioned this earlier, but I didn't get back to it. Okay. Jen, I just want to ask you, the Educational Computing Organization of Ontario, it sounds like the Canadian version of COSIN or ISTE down here. Are they linked? Do you know what I'm talking about when I say those things?
Yeah. Yes, I do. ISTE, we do have an affiliate relationship with ISTE. Yeah, we're sort of like a local Ontario chapter. The computing is in the title because it's been around for 40 years. We just had our 40th
yeah.
birthday as an organization. So we are actually, I mean, it's as an all-volunteer-run board of retired and active educators. We're, even though, I mean, traditionally, and like ISTE has made that shift from we're just about how to use cool tools to sort of how are we using tools to be, you know, be equitable, build critical thinking skills, do social justice work, and amplifying and integrating the context in which we live. As Amy said earlier, like students that exist in the world right now only know these tools. So how are we as educators who weren't born when we had access to it, learning with it to say this is part of your reality and make positive change and go a little bit deeper with it. So sort of deeper thinking. So yeah, it's a free member. I know you probably don't have a lot of Ontario listeners, but we're open to beyond, and it's free membership. So, if people want to check that out on our website, we've got a lot of good COVID resources that are, as much as we're curating for Canada, they're accessible to anybody, all open source. So if other educators or parents are curious, check out the website.
Absolutely. Do you know my good friend, Robert Martellacci from Mindshare Learning?
I do. Yep.
Robert,
yeah.
Robert
yes,
is a
we
very
do.
Good buddy of mine. He's a real good buddy
oh,
of
excellent.
Mine.
Oh, excellent. Well,
yeah.
I'll have
and
to
in
tell
fact,
him we chatted, Larry.
I will. I got to talk to him today anyway. And at Mindshare, Robert's organization, distributes our magazine, all
right,
Amy advertised in this issue, and ACNE over at ace-ed.org. He distributes his Canadian followers, et cetera, for us. So there you go.
No,
there's a little connection.
Yeah, and I love the connection because I just joined your membership too because I saw that it was free.
Thank you.
How did I not know of this before? But that's the great part about human connection, and in a digital world we can do that. And I mean, Amy and I would have lost contact if we didn't have social media to keep us in connected. And now this is happening, right? And you knowing Robert, and yeah, so that's the other great part, is that the globe is definitely connected in a different way. And even if you get reconnected, you realize all the networks, right, which makes us stronger. So.
I'm telling you, Amy, I'm telling you, get another T-shirt that says Apgar for Premier. I'm telling you, she's the one. Okay, she's the one for Ontario.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, she is something. Ladies, we got to go. I'll tell you, Amy, we're going to do more because I want to keep this in the forefront because I really think this is important stuff. Jen, you're always welcome here.
Okay, well,
don't
I'd
ever
love to
hesitate.
Come back. I'll definitely be sharing the love and get some more Ontario educators connected with you and make that reciprocal.
I'd love
for sure.
It. I would love that.
All
Thank
right.
you so much, and get them involved in our consortium because we are so concerned about the equity and access, especially now. okay, where yes. distance learning has become the way of the world. It's just incredible. So, Jen, keep up the good work. We'll be in touch. And, Amy, we love you. We're going to do another one right as school starts, okay?
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much.
We're going to do it. Okay, we're keeping okay. you out there. Okay, thank you both.
Yeah.
Both of you have a great
Take
day.
Care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye. Yeah,
bye. Okay, everybody. Hold on. Let me get swing back here. That's Jen Apgar and Amy Leisk from Red Tea Media. And it's Red Tea, the letter T, redteakids.com. And I'm telling you, this is something that you can jump on. It's fun and it's important. Okay, and I know it's for kids up to 8th grade. I'm telling you, it'll work just as well for kids in 11th and 12th grade. Okay, because everybody's starting from scratch with philosophy, and this is critical thinking, and that's what it's about. You got logic, you can solve the world's challenges. All right, we're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out at edutalkradio. Like Jen, join our consortium, ace-ed.org, and enjoy the magazine. And again, redteakids.com. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. And it's raining there in Maine. I'm so happy. It's a 3.5-4 weeks.